Hello there, welcome along to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington in the company of David Jennings and Keith Melrose, taking you through a busy weekend of what we hope is classic action. I say hopefully because this dreadful summer gets no better and it's been chucking it down in Ireland. So there are doubts about whether the Curra will be fit to host the Guineas this weekend. Hopefully it will go ahead because there is some great racing. But if not, we've also got some good stuff in front of the ITV4 cameras on Saturday, where they're showing nine races from Haydock, from Goodwood, and also from York. So we'll get all the best bets for the TV action and elsewhere. We'll start, though, with what we hope will be on. It's the Irish 2000 Guineas, sponsored by Tattersalls. On Saturday, it's due to take place at 3:20 at the Curra. But DJ, you shared a picture with me earlier that doesn't look very encouraging, does it?
No, it doesn't. I spoke to Pat Kyo, who's chief executive of the course there this morning, and he was hopeful. Now, he thought if they got potentially what they were forecast, that it might just get the go-ahead. But it's still raining here at the minute. We're filming this at lunchtime. It's still raining here at the minute. I'm about 40 minutes from the track. It's a little bit worrying. I think there's a contingency plan in place for the race to be run on Monday. So Saturday's card switched to Monday, and obviously the 1,000 Guineas stays on Sunday. Who knows, Bruce? It's in the lap of the gods, literally.
Okay, well, at least we would get a good Monday. But let's hope it takes place on Saturday because it's a decent race. Best prices here. Shop around for best prices and for best place terms. 11-4 Lucky Vega, 9-2 Wembley, 11-2 Poetic Flair. Blimey, he's going to the well again. 8 Van Gogh, 9-1 La Barossa, 9-1 Max Swiney, 10 Battleground and 16's Bar. There are 12 runners. And which of them will cross the line in front either on Saturday or Monday, DJ?
A British winner in Ireland, I think, here, Bruce, which is hard to believe. Look, I've long been a fan of La Barossa. I always thought he would make he develop into a smashing three-year-old, and nothing I saw in the Craven told me otherwise. I just think when you go through, now this is obviously a risky thing to do, but when you go through the top half dozen in the market, Lucky Vega, Wembley, Poetic Flair, Van Gogh, Max Sweeney, Battleground, okay? La Barossa is the only one of them who has had this race as his aim. He wasn't even entered at Newmarket. It was always the Irish Guineas when Charlie Appleby spoke about him. This is his aim, and he's been aimed towards this race. I know he was disappointing in the criterium at St. Cloud, but I just thought that was the end of the season, and I wouldn't put it necessarily down to the ground. I think he'll cope. I think he's a very good horse. I think that form at Master of the Season, the Craven, where they pulled nicely here in the third, I think that's strong form. I think he's a lot better than his current mark of 108. And to me, he looks to me like a 4-1, 9-2 shot. I can't believe he's 8-9-1. I think that's double the price he should be. And I fancied him for this race for some time. So I will be with La Barossa.
Who will you be with, Keith?
Well, whether it's run on Saturday or Monday, this race is going to be a real test of stamina. It's going to be very testing ground. And I'm glad DJ's validated the pronunciation I had to Google this morning because I want to get this one right. But Max Sweeney obviously won the Bare Temp Futurity on deep ground, Doncaster. He beat One Ruler, who actually I thought she did quite well in the Guineas. You know, he was sixth, I think, and maybe wasn't that comfortable going into the dip, so could have marked him up a little bit on it. So its form is up to standard without being tremendous. He obviously was getting aimed a bit more towards the Derby, but flopped a little bit in the Derrynstown. I think they found a reason for that. You know, he was coughing or something like that. But either way, you know, physical reason for that, write it off. They're choosing to come back for the Irish Guineas with him. His pedigree, it's neither Derby nor Guineas particularly, but it's a bit in between. It's more of a mile two pedigree, so I'm not that worried about him dropping back in trip. You're obviously not worried about the ground, no matter how testing it gets. Yeah, I just think Max Sweeney's a bigger price than he should be, about 9-1.
The reason he flopped last time, he didn't flop, he's just massively ground dependent, Keith. I was saying to DJ beforehand, this horse is 2 stone quicker on heavy. I mean, if you look at his form figures are astonishing. They're almost, you know, Mark Johnson-esque in that they're a mixture of ones, eights and nines, basically. And when it's heavy or soft, he's absolutely different class. I'm completely in agreement with you. Did you say it's Max Sweeney, DJ, or Max Swiney?
Max Sweeney.
Max Sweeney. Okay, fine.
Anyway. I think, and it's a famous story in history and stuff, and I could be wrong, so, like, I think it's Max Sweeney, though.
The internet told me it was Max Sweeney this morning.
Fair enough. Excellent. What about the horses at the top of the market, Lucky Vagrant, Wembley, and indeed Poetic Flair? It's very unusual for a horse to run in all three guineas, isn't it? DJ, just give us your assessment of maybe the front three in the market, who you favour out of those and who you'd be looking to lay, perhaps.
Yeah, well, just with Lucky Vega, when Lucky Vega won the Phoenix Stakes, it was good to yielding, but there was plenty of cut in the ground and he quickened up nicely. He did stay on. I was worried about his stamina at Newmarket. He stayed on as strong as anything that day, but I just wonder on that ground, will he quite see it out? I think he'll cope, but just stamina would be just in the back of my mind. I know my colleague Justin O'Hanlon completely disagrees. Wembley, like, I spoke to Aidan this morning for the preview, and Aidan just thinks they all ran the same sort of race at Newmarket. They all travelled kind of in the first half of the race and then they went out like a light. And he's convinced the race just came too early for their development as three-year-olds. He said it's happened before with a couple of his where they've ran terrible races at Newmarket and then they've completely bounced back. And would you be surprised if Wembley won? Absolutely not. Would you be surprised if Van Gogh won? Probably would a little bit. And would I be surprised if Battleground won? I was really disappointed with him, especially at Newmarket. I think Wembley is obviously the best of them. Ryan Moore rides. And you've got to remember, it was soft ground in the Dewhurst when he was just beaten by St. Mark's Basilica. That form has been frank since. He's won on soft to heavy at Roscommon. He's the one that will probably cope best of the O'Brien contingent, I'd imagine, even though Van Gogh obviously has that win in France as well. But I think Wembley, it'll be fine. It was heavy when Van Gogh won as well, so you'd say he coped with conditions at St. Cloud. Wembley would be the one I'd be most scared of for La Barossa.
Okay, and just quickly, Keith, on this race, given that Poetic Flair won at Newmarket and then got turned over in France, does that almost continue the trend that we saw from last year's elite two-year-olds, that they're all beating each other? Could that be something that we kind of see throughout the, you know, throughout the division this year as well?
Well, you can see it at this stage. I mean, that Guineas win was very close. To be honest, in the Guineas, he won because his head was down. He was sort of the second best horse, I thought, to Master of the Seas. You know, if you don't allow for the bob, Master of the Seas was a tiny bit ahead.
So that's the most ridiculous thing ever.
No, it's not. It's not. The second best. If you're in that nod, there's a kind of cycle based on the strike.
Yeah, there is. Exactly what it is.
And you can basically be only 10% in front on that sort of nod cycle, which sounds absolutely ludicrous, I know, but you can just about get it through despite not being the horse that's in front at the time.
Okay,
I stand corrected.
Yeah, because it's, you know, that's exactly what Bruce said. It's a cycle where, you know, one head's down, one head's up. But, you know, what I'm saying is that was a very narrow Guineas win. You know, St. Mark's Basilica, before the Guineas, they didn't run him at Newmarket. I thought he was the best coming into it anyway, and he might end up being so. You know, the Guineas probably maybe wasn't the strongest race it could be. I think we'll find out in time if St. Mark's Basilica does turn out to be that much better. The O'Brien horses all ran badly in the race. Battleground was especially disappointing. He didn't go a yard, despite the fact that at the end, he was the one that was the strongest in the betting, which I thought was a significant thing to note. So, you know, I think you might end up looking in time and thinking that Guineas isn't worth much. But I wouldn't be going quite down to the stage yet where there's no superstars.
Okay. All right, then. We might have invented a new racing part of the lexicon, the nod cycle. Let's turn our attention to Haydock. There's five races there on Saturday. Weather permitting, of course, it's heavy already. I'm just looking at my weather app and there is a stack of rain forecast later on today. Fingers crossed it will be all right. The first of those five races takes place at 1:55. It's the Kisumo Horse Racing and Sports Betting Handicap over 7 furlongs. Wide open, best odds, 11-2 Fionn, 6-1 Moles Memory, 6-1 Sunset Breeze, 7-1 Tom Collins, 9-1 Lincoln Park, 10-1 Bar. And I am reading off the best odds facility on racingpost.com. So if you sign up, click on the cards, you can get best prices from a large number of leading bookmakers and place bets direct through the site. Who's going to win this, Keith?
I'm going to put up a would-be colleague of ours. I'm going to put Tom Collins in this. He was in the First Cod Cup last time. That was a very warm race. He never really got involved. He's gone to William Haggis, which, you know, with the greatest of respect to former trainer Ellsworth, Haggis is, you know, top of the tree. He can't not be a positive trainer change going to William Haggis. Another thing I noticed about Tom Collins, yes, he was disappointing at Thirsk, and I watched it back to see why. And he's got a scratchy little stride. It's very quick. And although he's bred to stay a mile two, a mile four, and that's how he was campaigned last year, the way he strides is much more like a 7 furlong horse, even a sprinter, if you look at the figures that he's actually posted. So he's coming back from a mile to 7 furlongs. I'm not worried at all about that based on how he goes about and how high his revs are. So I think he's worth another chance and he's 7-1. So I'm putting up Tom Collins.
I bet Tom Collins, our colleague, loves having a horse called Tom Collins. Do we know anyone else on the Racing Post? Is there a David Jennings in training anywhere, DJ?
God help them if there is, Bruce.
He'd be an honest sort, wouldn't he? Stay away.
Yeah, slightly overweight, needs a bit of training. Yeah.
What are you going for?
In the end, I went for Lincoln Park here, Bruce. See what I did there?
Bloody hell.
That was quite impressive, I thought.
No, I didn't get it. Go on.
Bruce might be a bit of a certain vintage.
Is that based on the band Linkin Park?
Yeah, Linkin Park had a song called Linkin In Park. The End.
Yeah, no, yeah, sorry. Yeah. I felt you fell down on my Radiohead Fake Plastic Trees one last week. And sorry, I didn't get that one, mate.
That's all right.
I don't really know that band very well.
That's all right. No, Linkin Park, I thought was interesting here. Now, I just thought of Chester. It was just all over a bit too early, just too fizzy, too keen. Like, Chester sometimes, these horses sometimes fall into the trap of, oh, God, we have to be prominent. And if you're not there, if you're not banged there after a furlong, forget about it then. And just everything wanted to lead in that race that Broken Spear won, and the race just fell apart. Just, it's all down to ground really here with Linkin Park. I think he's going to cope brilliantly with the ground. Like he's won on heavy at Haydock over this trip. He was just beaten by Air Raid as well at Haydock. He's won on soft at Chester. He's just got really strong form, I thought, with plenty of cut in the ground. And as we know, when it does get soft at Haydock, it's a swimming pool, really. And, you know, he's been in good form. He won at Suddle, where he beat Lord Oberon impressively back in March. He's run off a mark of 83 here, which is basically the same as his last winning mark as well. He's been dropped a pound for that run at Chester. And I just thought he was going to run his race. And I think he's pretty decent each way value.
Okay, strong stairs only need apply for the 225, a 2 mile slog for the download the Casumo app today. Handicap, 7-2 Postilio, 9-2 Green Book, 7-1 Future Investment, 8-1 Hiroshima, 9-1 Frankenstella, 10-1 Bar. DJ, away you go.
Yeah, I thought Postilio might reverse the form here with Green Book, to be honest with you. I didn't think Andrea Atteni was where he wanted to be at any stage in that race at Chester, to be honest with you. He was slowly away. It was a bit argy-bargy early on in the race. I actually thought he ran quite well to finish second. He's gone up £3 for that. Green Book has gone up £10. So he's £7 better off with Green Book. Green Book won emphatically in the end, and you can't really say that Postilio was unlucky. But I just think if the race was run differently, and things went a bit better in the early part of the race for Postilio, I thought it would have been a lot closer. And £7 is a big turnaround in the weights here. Again, conditions, I suppose, are a little bit of an unknown. But he's a lightly raced, unexposed four-year-old who could potentially be a stakes performer. So at the prices, I'd side with Postilio.
Who's your selection, Keith?
My argument follows much on from DJ's, to be honest. I mean, I maybe go a little bit stronger. I thought Franny Norton mugged him off again at Chester on Green Book. That was the rides was if not all the difference, then the vast majority of it. And he now gets a £7 pool Postilio. You know, it was like far too much to do. Second best by Clearwater. And now he's £7 better off. So yeah, I think Postilio more than deserves to be a point shorter here. I think it's quite a strong race in behind. We've only really talked about the top two because we both fancy Postilio. There's horses like Roginski, who's quite interesting, Frankenstella, even as Speedo Boy, who also shaped well in that race. But Postilio, definitely the likeliest winner for me.
Jolly good. Let's move on to the 3 o'clock. It is over a mile, and it's the Join Casumo Today Silver Bowl Handicap. Another wide open affair. We've got a 3-1 favourite in Radebarg. 9-1 Shot Nebulosa comes next. And then we've got 10-1 Heights of Abraham and Master Zoffany. Headingley is 11-1. So's Wob, Wob, Wob. And it's 12-1 Bar. It's not that many runners. And yet it's a wide open affair. And Keith, solve this puzzle for us.
Yeah, you see a lot of them in the betting. The ones you've rattled off there, vast majority of them won on softer ground last time out. You know, when Haydock gets testing, as DJ says, it's you get the armbands out. It is that something. It's 4.4. It's raining in the area. It's going to get lower. We're going to be talking, you know, Tommy Whittle stuff by the time they're racing here. So a lot of it, horses that have won last time on softer ground are prominent in the betting. And, you know, you can understand that. But the one I'm going to put up, one last time, not on testing ground, but the time before one on testing ground, and it's Nebulosa. She won the maiden, a filly's maiden at Newmarket in October, beat all the types that you would expect, you know, these well-bred types that are owned by Judd Mont, trained by Gos. They're all those sort of horses. She beat them handsomely in October and came back at Goodwood. And without particularly wanting to open up the debate about if you can have bad winning rides, you can. I thought Oisin Murphy, he got there in the last stride to beat Farassi Lane, but he left it awfully tight and he's far, far better. His horse is far, far more superior than that. The second got a much better ride. She's bred to stay a mile two, so I think a mile on testing ground is going to suit her. She evidently suits testing ground. I think she's going to improve an awful, awful lot from that first run.
If anyone doesn't think there's such a thing as bad winning rides, they're just absolutely mad.
Well, there are people that I can imagine would sit here and go, oh, how did he misjudge it? Oisin Murphy got there in the last stride. And I'm thinking, well, no jockey should be aiming to get there in the last stride. Yeah. You know, that's not how you play percentages at all. You know, and he's got there and he's got the win, but the jockey on the second gave his horse a far, far better ride.
Of course, there's such a thing as there's good losing rides as well.
It's just a case of how often they are, really, because there is one absolutely undeniable bad winning ride, isn't there? Franco St James's Palace.
Of course. Right then, David Jennings, who's going to win this?
Oh, boring clacks on here, Bruce. I thought Radaberg was potentially a good bit ahead of his mark. One I thought with plenty in hand last time was a Mickey Mouse race. He was 4-7 at Thirsk. It was soft ground. He's a half brother to Captain Dunn, who won twice on soft ground, a sprinter. But Captain Dunn obviously just coped on any sort of ground. He ran that much. But just thought this is a Knight of Thunder Code, who I thought last time visually at Thirsk was a stakes performer in the making. He's running off 88 here. I just think there is scope for more improvement with him than a lot of these. Roger Varian is so good with these three-year-olds that starts off down a campaign like this. And if he continues the improvement that I saw at Thirsk last time, I think a mark of 88 could be a good bit shy of what he's capable of producing. I thought Radaberg would win.
Do you always think, though, with these variant improvers, DJ, that the market absolutely...
Always underpriced. Like,
you're
always
never getting value, are you? I mean, but then I suppose, you know, they then go and win, don't they? And you think, well, why did I ignore the opposite?
How does he... At the start of... I know he's quite... He doesn't over-race his two-year-olds, but at the start of every single campaign, he seems to have these kind of once, twice... How do you say three times?
Thrice. Thrice is the most underused word in the English language. It's so useful, and yet if you use it, people think you're absolutely mad.
Maybe anyway, it's because they can't pronounce it like me. I just think he starts every season with these horses that have ran a couple of times as two-year-olds, and you just have no idea how good they are at three, and invariably, they end up being quite decent. And I'd say a mark of 88 for this guy is quite lenient.
But that was okay. That was the whole theme of the ride he got last time as well, wasn't it? It was just make him guess. Because Cameron Noble, who rides him, look at the last three furlongs, he's looking behind him, you know, trying to win by as little as possible. So the whole idea was make him guess. Usually when the handicapper gets a chance to do that, they absolutely smash them. But I don't think he's done that to Radaberg, to be honest. Yeah, he is. You know, I'm back in Nebulosa, but you have to be scared of him.
It's a bit mad. That race was like the 8th of May, which is obviously 2 weeks ago and early now. None of the horses in the race have ran since, which I thought was a bit mad.
Really? Oh, okay.
This is also his third run. He's also had two runs this spring as well, which I thought was interesting. Variants really shot out the traps with him.
Right. Okay. 3:35. We've got a couple of good group twos coming up now. The first of them is the Kasumo Bet 10 Get 10 Sandy Lane Stakes over 6 furlongs. And yet again, a wide open look to the market. Dragon Symbol is the favourite at 100-30. And then we've got Isabella Giles at 7-1. 8-1 for Method. 8-1 St Lawrence. 8-1 the Learjet. And it's 9-1 Bar. Who's going to go first? DJ.
Oh, Mudge Bar, Bruce. Mudge Bar. Just back this horse whenever it's soft or heavy. That's just the key to this horse. Last year when he won at Newmarket, when he beat Marley Park, it was pretty soft that day. It was a horrible day at Newmarket and he was so explosive. It was so easy on the eye. And when he won at Newbury, the Group 3, I think it's registered as the Horace Hill. I can't remember what it's called now. But again, that day, heavy ground, and just coped so well with it. I actually thought he ran okay in the Greenham. I thought he ran okay. He obviously finished 8th of 11 behind Shinde, but I thought he ran a little bit better than that. His work at home, Charlie Hills had been saying, had been quite good. He was just a little bit fizzy and keen in the early part of the race. He's rated 102. You can add any amount to that on heavy ground. That's what he's going to get here. This is his bread and butter. Nothing else. This type of ground at Haydock. 6 furlongs, obviously, you just worry that some of them might be a little bit speedier than him. But given the way the ground is, I think he'll be fine. And I think he's going to go off a much shorter price than he is now.
DJ, very confident about Mudgebar. Are you confident about anything, Keith Melrose?
I wouldn't say massively confident. I am backing a half-brother of the horse that got placed in the Supreme, which seems a little bit strange given this is a sandy lane. But for pleasure, he's a sort of outlier in the pedigree. Method is bred much more to be a sprinter. Looked really fast last year. Smashed Fevre over about on his debut, then won a listed race at Newbury. On his last run, he was in the Cornwallis, and Winter Power went out on the front, got a much better ride. Method was tight on the rail, didn't really get out until late and finished quite strongly. He's probably going to improve for 6 furlongs this year. He has got 4. That was on soft ground, that Cornwallis. So he's going to, he evidently acts under the conditions. You know, it's not a particularly strong fancy, really, but Method, I thought, has got a real potential as a sprinter this year. An 8-1 is bigger than I was expecting to see.
Okay, I'm going to give Coultham one more chance. 4.10 at Haydock is the Kasuma best odds guaranteed. Temple Stakes, a Group 2 over 5 furlongs. Liberty Beach heads the market at 2-1. It's 130, keep busy. 4-1, Kea Moros. 8-1, Lady in France. 10-1, Jabberocky. 16-1, Ainsdale. And 25-1, Declaring Love. And the winner will be, Keith?
I'm going to go for Lady in France, I think. It seems massively tautological to say it, but there's a lot of pace in the Temple Stakes. I mean, there's horses that they just blast. You just cannot hold them. They've got to go. And it's just a case of whether they get as far as the finish, which is probably going to suit Lady in France. I think she's not quite as blast off as some of them. She was beat Keep Busy off, let's say, level weights, because there was a pound in it at York last August there. And I think she's improved since, because the way she ran in the Abbey on heavy, the Abbey, obviously, everything happens on the rail. It's all on the rail. And she was the widest of all, and I never knew her fourth. The SP tells you the story when she ran up against Starman in the Duke of York last week. You know, that's 40-1. She was there, I think, that obviously not quite ready. This is more like it. You know, 8-1 against a lot of horses, and a race that's going to set up nicely for her, was a bit more, a bit bigger than I thought.
Okie dokie. And David Jennings, who's your selection?
Oh, look, he mightn't be good enough, and I hate starting a tip like this saying it probably won't win, but I think Ainsdale is overpriced here, Bruce. I thought that was a really good... Now, it's a different level, obviously, and you're taking on much, much better calibre sprinters here, but I thought that was a cracking run at Chester last time, especially since he didn't break particularly well. He was really closing on El Astronaut, and I don't think I've ever seen a horse break like El Astronaut did that day. It was awesome. But I just think with Ainsdale, I think in these sprints, a lot of the time, I think ratings are kind of misguide you a little bit, because Ainsdale's only rated 98. And I don't think over 5 furlongs on soft ground or heavy ground is likely to be at Haydock. I don't think there is £11 between Ainsdale and Liberty Beach and Keep Busy. I really don't. I thought even at Doncaster first time out, he only beat 2 home. But I just liked the way he moved during that race. And I thought it was a nice pipe opener for the season. He won a heavy ground at Newmarket on his final run last year. And again, earlier on in the season, he won at Nottingham on soft ground. It was only a handicap and he won off 89. But just again, ground conditions, I think, for Ainsdale are key. I just thought he was coming to the boil nicely. Yes, he mightn't be good enough, but you're getting a big price about a horse that's absolutely going to love the conditions. So I'm going to take a chance on him.
Lovely stuff. Let's go to Goodwood next.
Be sure to watch Racing Post Live with Betfair for racing reaction, tips and discussion. It's live every Saturday afternoon on the Racing Post YouTube channel.
Right then, welcome back. 4 more ITV4 races on Saturday to get stuck into, and we'll start with the 140 at Goodwood. It is over a mile and 6. It's the Mansion Bet Watch and Bet Handicap. Best prices, Prince Alex for Rafe Beckett is the 2-1 favourite, and then it's 92 Hockfelt, 6-1 Hyena, 15-2 Just In Time, and it's 10-1 Bar. And we'll start with David Jennings.
I thought this was actually the hardest race of the day, Bruce. I thought this was really tricky. I'm gonna side with Just In Time without any massive degree of confidence. I know you're King Rafe Man and Prince Alex might potentially be our banker today, but with Just In Time, you know, he's a pretty battle hardened staying handicapper who will run his race. That run behind my Franca La Kempton was fine. It was fine. There was nothing wrong with it. He had been hurdling as well through the winter. He wasn't a particularly good jumper, but I think he'll cope with conditions. I think he'll run his race. If Prince Alex is, you know, chucked in off America of 86 and has loads of improvement to come, he'll win. But Just In Time, if the eight runners stay, I think he's the one that's, you know, pretty sure of finishing in the first three.
Okay, DJ, we're soft at the moment at Goodwood with a bit more rain forecast, so we'll see what happens then come race time. Who do you like here, Keith?
Well, keep the rain coming at Goodwood, because the horse I'm putting up on their last turf run that wasn't a reappearance, it was heavy ground here, and was second to the horse that subsequently finished second in the St Simon Stakes, it's Hyena. I was looking through the handicap ratings on this race this morning, and it is a competitive race. He's absolutely right. It's really good. You've got Prince Alex, you've got Hawkfeld, who was third and arguably a bit better than the result in the Chester Cup. You know, and a lot of solid types in behind. And there's this Hyena's coming out £3 clear. How's this happening? I was saying to G-Rod. And we looked and, you know, this horse is £2 lower than on that run. The two of them, the natural history form obviously stacks up pretty well. Goshen was third in that race, and Goshen and Hyena both sort of pressed on a little bit, maybe sooner than ideal. Hyena still beat him, giving him £11, I think it was. The form's pretty solid. George Adobe rode Hyena that day and rides her again. Everything's very, very similar. There's no excuses in terms of the conditions, apart from, you know, she can be a little bit free. But if she's settled through the first half mile, she is a massive runner, and 6-1's very big.
Interesting. Okay, the 2-10 at Goodwood is the Mansion Bet Beaten by a Head Festival Stakes, listed race over 10 furlongs. Al Zarakan heads the market for William Haggers at 9-4. It's 11-4, good old Desert Encounter. And then we've got Stormy Antarctic at 130, 5-1 Majestic Dawn, and 20-1 Winter Reprise. So some good old friends doing battle here. Who do you think will come out on top, Keithy?
It's no great conviction particularly, but I do think this race will see Al Zarakan in a much better light than the race he ran in last time at Newmarket, the Jockey Club Stakes. You know, I expected him to be really popular for that and to try and oppose him, because I didn't think, you know, small field mile and a half was his sort of thing, but a slightly quicker mile two around Goodwood is a bit more like it. That form with Al McGuire at Kempton is really, really strong. He is up to at least listed class. And yeah, just I think against some of these old stages, he might just have too much for them.
Okay, David, have you got a strong view here?
Yeah, I like Stormy Antarctic. It's hard to know. You can have two ways of looking at the Windsor race last time. You can say Ushy Murphy almost stole it from the front, where he kicked a trader quite short and running that day at Windsor in that listed race. Solid Stone ended up winning it. Solid Stone stayed to the near side, and Ushy went the far side, and Ushy won his. Yeah, group quite comfortably. It was just an unusual way for Stormy Antarctic to be ridden. And he's a little bit of an in and out performer, but like you go through his form and he has won a couple of times on heavy. I think he's won twice on heavy, he's won twice on soft, he's fine with cutting the ground. And I thought his well being and his ability looked almost as good as ever at Windsor last time. I think the makeup of the race here might suit. And just if he just took a lead for a little longer, I just thought he might. This might be one he might be able to pick up. He doesn't win as many races as he should these days. He's an 8-year-old. But it's hard to believe, actually. It's a bit mad, isn't it? There's an 8-year-old and a 9-year-old who are almost topping the market here in a flat race. I just thought that was mental. But I'm gonna side with the 8-year-old Stormy Antarctic.
Okay, chaps. Thank you very much. Off to York now. Cool. Wouldn't it be nice to be going to York? Are you going to York tomorrow, Keith? You live in Yorkshire.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to York tomorrow, actually. I'm saving up my first trip to the races for a wee while yet. It's usually the Dante I would go to, actually, at York. And I've missed that this year, but I will be getting by over this summer at some point.
It's on my bucket list, Bruce.
Oh, you've never been to York?
Never been to York?
No, I'd love to be. No,
do you know what, DJ? I've got to tell you, mate. It took me at least five times before I got York. I just thought to myself, well, this is just northern Newbury. It's not that amazing. It's perfectly nice. You know, it's all well and good. But then I think it was a sunny day on the Ebor, at the Ebor meeting. It was a Friday. And it was, there was a buzz about the place and it was just absolutely wonderful. It really, really was. It was brilliant. So
my tip for York as well, DJ, is when you get there, presumably get the train, walk. Don't walk.
To Yeah. You got to walk. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. You have to walk. You've got to walk to York, definitely. But no, it's lovely. And the city is just phenomenal. I mean, if you can have a walk around there, it's just honestly, it's one of the most incredible places. I know you like your Cotswolds villages, don't you, DJ?
Oh, but, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
if you take Aoife over to York one day, and you it's just sensational around there, around the Minster and that. I've never seen anything like it. It's just like walking back in time. It's gorgeous. Anyway, yes, as I said, it's the first Saturday with crowds, so I'm sure some people will be very excited about their trip to York. So let's see if we can give them a couple of winners for the ITV4 races, the first of which is over mile and six. It's the William Hill Bronte Cup for fillies. Takes place at 2:40. Believe in Love is favourite at 9-4 for Roger Varian. And then we've got Mighty Blue at 7-2. Makawi 11-2, 7-1 for Flor de la Luna, 7-1 Urban Artist, and 14's Bar. We're going to start with Keith. Who's going to win this?
Well, if you're of the sort of mind to Dutch on horses, you're getting about 10-11 couple, Believe in Love and Mighty Blue, off the top of my head. I think they'll shorten up an awful lot from that. They'll take out a lot more of the book than that. I'm not even sure which one will go a favourite, which is why I need to really put on Mighty Blue. She is 72 as at the time of recording this. You know, last year was her first year with Joseph O'Brien. She improved all year. She improved again when she went over hurdles. She ended up finishing third in the Dawn Run at Cheltenham. And the way she won at Gowran last time, it was a bit grindy, if you're being hypercritical, but she didn't have beat them handily. Beat them very, very well. And, you know, Believe in Love's a very likeable horse. Ended up winning Group 3 in France on heavy ground last year. The only thing about her is her standout run was in a handicap and Ray Dawson was claiming 5. Now back then Ray Dawson's 5 was stealing. So you know, you can just maybe put a wee query against that sort of figure. I think Mighty Blue's at least as good as her and only getting better. So I think Mighty Blue's the better the prices.
I like grindy. I think that should catch on as well as Nod Cycle. David Jennings, who wins this?
We'd have to get Susie to have a look at that in the dictionary. I don't know if it's there. I have a bit of affinity here to Mighty Blue because one of the owners of the Cape of Street Syndicate is Joe Kyo, who actually made Aoife's engagement ring, would you believe?
Oh, wow. So, and of course, Capel Street is the home of the Racing Post's Irish office as well.
Yeah, God, I haven't been in there in a while. But yeah, it is. Capel Street is our office is just across the road from the Boar's Head
Pub. And that's nothing
to
do with COVID. You never used to go there when it was open.
Oh, excuse me. I was one of the regular visitors. But Mighty Blue, Keith says to couple Mighty Blue and Believe in Love. Now, I'm not just being patriotic here, but I think you should actually couple Mighty Blue and Flor de la Luna. I'd be surprised if one of the two Irish runners didn't win. And at the prices, I've got to be with Flor de la Luna. Now, these two have clashed on their last two starts, okay? They ran at Cork, where Flor de la Luna was second to Mall. Travelled really well, looked like winning. Mighty Blue was only sixth that day, even though she was sent off favourite. Then last time at Goran Park, Flor de la Luna, I have no idea what happened, but Flor de la Luna was one of my horses to follow for the season. I thought she was going to be an absolute star. She was sent off 3-1 favourite, and I said to one of the lads after about a furlong, I said, she's beaten. I don't know what's going on here. She's beaten. She just never looked happy at any stage at Goran Park. For whatever reason, I don't know. Maybe she was just moody. Maybe it was just an off day. I don't know. But if this race was ran after the Cork race rather than the Goran Park race, these prices would be flip-flopped and Flor de Luna would be the price Mighty Blue is. Mighty Blue settled a lot better at Goran Park than she usually does. And if she settles here, she's got a massive chance. But Flor de Luna, to me, the real Flor de Luna is a potential star, is a potential Group 1 winning stayer, I think. And you know me, Bruce, I am the forgiving type. And I think Flor de la Luna deserves another chance to prove she's a star. And I think Haydock is going to suit her a lot. I think York is going to suit her an awful lot better than Goran did. So I'm going to go with Flor de la Luna.
Thank you very much.
Generally a fan of the sort of, cover your hand over that run. It's a bit of a Paul Keighley thing, that. Cover your hand over that run and prices would be very different. I've got a lot of time for it. Got a bit less when one of the horses involved won by 7.5 lengths.
Yeah. But the race before, obviously, Mighty Blue was a long way behind Florida La Luna. So.
Not doubting it.
Okay, right. Our last ITV4 race on a bumper programme is the 350 at York. It's the 5 furlong, WilliamHill.com, best odds guaranteed handicap. Mon Damage is 5-1 favourite. It's 11-2 Copper Knight, 7-1 Pendleton, 9-1 Count Dorsey, 9-1 Hurricane Ivor, 10-1 Molesim. And down the bottom, a quick word for Duke of Frenzies, 50-1. This will be his 111th race. 12-1 and still a Saturday horse. What a star he is. I don't suppose you'll be tipping Duke of Frenzy, DJ, but he's some horse, isn't he?
Oh, he is. Jesus. Like I'd say, I think I was a teenager the first time I backed the Duke of Frenzy. Just what a legend. And you got to love some of these sprinters. Look, I'm an idiot. I am an absolute idiot, but I'm going to give Count Dorsey another chance here. I just thought at York, I actually really fancied him at York in the race at Copper Knight one, but I just thought halfway through the race, David Allen, who I don't know, maybe he didn't, but you'd imagine he would have had the pick of Copper Knight or Count Dorsey, given he's stable jockey to Tim Easterby and he was on Count Dorsey. But I just thought the camera angle at on ITV actually showed it perfectly with Count Dorsey. Just when David kind of wanted him to quicken, he was just snatched up a little bit and it seemed to unsettle him. It just didn't seem to... Now, he wasn't badly hampered or anything like that, but I just thought there was a couple of strides where the horse just seemed, uh-oh, what's going on here? I'm being pushed about a bit. And then the race was over. He actually, you know, he was beaten 8 lengths. He only was just trotted home. But he had no sort of race there at all. Like, so he should come in here fairly fresh. I loved the run before that at Chester. I thought it was a lovely run. And I thought when he gets back down to a two-figure rating, he was rated 100. He's got back down to 99 now. He's been dropped a pound. I just think when there's a bit of cut in the ground over this trip at York, I think he's always going to be interesting. And, you know, he's probably going to be double the price that Copper Knight is here. They were the same price at York. I think he's the better value. And I'm an idiot and I always give these horses another chance. So I'm going to do it here.
You are so loyal, DJ. Keith, who's your selection?
This is at least had a quick look at. It's not my sort of thing, the sprint handicap anyway. I'm going to leave it alone. But while DJ was talking, I did look at the Duke of Frenzy's profile. Do you know that he made his debut the Monday after Nathaniel won the King George?
Wow, that's mad.
He's still going.
Really? That's absolutely brilliant. Oh, I love doing that, you know, when you go back and you look at some of these superstars' early races and or even in Ireland, or these jump superstars, you look at their point to point, and there's another familiar face in there. It's really interesting to just have a sort of mess around, isn't it, on the website and just see what you can see. But so you're no bet, but you'd love to see Duke of Frenzy.
Who wouldn't?
Exactly. Okay, then, thank you very much indeed, chaps. Before we get the naps, is there anything else on Saturday that you would like to flag up, David?
Good racing at the Curragh, Bruce. If it's on, fingers crossed, it will be on. My nap actually runs at the Curragh, so I won't give that away yet. But just two others later on in the card that I like. In the 5 o'clock, it's a 6 furlong handicap. Again, you're looking for horses that are comfortable in conditions. Silver Service off mark of 88 for Mick Mulvaney and Gary Carroll will absolutely adore the ground. Is running into a bit of form at the moment, and I thought, and it could be a double figure price here. Silver Service, I thought that has got a cracking chance. That's in the 5 o'clock at the Curragh, and in the 5:30 at the Curragh, it's the finale. Call for K here for Ken Condon. Again, will be a bit of a price. This filly.
Well, hang on. Whoa! You know what I'm going to say, don't you? This time last week, you were spraying up that horse, weren't you? And saying it's going to be a massive price. Don't worry about it. It went off odds on, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. God, the one that... Did you see the race?
Those two went well clear, didn't they?
And swell time. A 50-1 shot and a 40-1 shot went a distance clear, like a furlong clear. And they never came back. And swell time finished third.
Yeah.
No, I got that price completely wrong. And actually, like, one of my rare good traits would be tissues. So I got that completely wrong. But Call for K, Silver Service will be a decent price. Like, we'll probably be like 10s or 12s. We'll probably be backed into about 13-2, I'd say. Call for K, similar enough. These are competitive handicaps. It's not going to be an even money shot in the race. And certainly the two horses I'm tipping won't be anything close to the price of Call for K or the price of Swell Time. But I thought with Call for K, ran last time on good ground behind Independent Missy at Navan. Just a filly that's crying out for cutting the ground. She won on heavy ground at Nice at the back end of last year off a mark of 82. She's a pound lower now, and just conditions very much in our favour. Call for Kate.
Okay, anything for you, Keith?
There nearly wasn't, because I nearly made this horse the nap. But the fact that it's his reappearance just took me back a little bit to from doing so. The 3:40 at Newmarket. Al McGuire runs in that race. We've talked about him already because Al Zarakan runs at Goodwood. He's in this race, but my horse to follow for the season runs in this race, and it's Z-Band. He's got loads and loads of really good form. He won his first couple of handicaps, and then he finished second to Prince Alex, who's also running on Saturday, in a race at York that often comes out to be really strong form. And already has, you know, you've got horses out of there like Dancing Harry, who runs today, who's already come out and run well. Isband, who's got a lot more to give. Prince Alex, who obviously is his favourite to win at Goodwood earlier on this. Z-Band is, you know, he's 87 now, so it's a bold shout, and I know I'm being provocative by saying this, but I don't think it's out of the question this horse is good enough to something stupid like win an Ebor. So I think in time he's going to be winning a lot of races this year. He would have been my nap if I knew he was fit, but failing that, you know, I'm still backing him.
Okay, thanks very much for that, Keith. Let's get the Saturday naps.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with DJ.
Bruce, I am going to the Curragh, which again, hopefully, will be on. The 2:45 is the Wetherby's Ireland Greenland Stakes. And Speak in Colours, sprinter we're all pretty familiar with. Speak in Colours, right? If Speak in Colours stuck to 6 furlong races at the Curragh, right, his form figures would be 1-2, 1-1, 1-4, 6, okay, and those last two runs were actually, there were excuses for them. So he's 4 from 7 over 6 furlongs at the Curragh. He copes perfectly well with cutting the ground. He won the race last year. He's obviously been trained with this race in mind, I would say, this year. This is him. This is Speak in Colours. 6 furlongs, the Curragh, cutting the ground, Guineas weekend. Speak in Colours, 2:45 at the Curragh.
Thank you very much, DJ. Keith?
Yeah, it would be Hyanna in the 1:40 at Goodwood.
Thank you very much. Let's do the Curragh on Sunday next.
Members Club is the ultimate resource for racing enthusiasts and punters. It's brought to you by the Racing Post. You can get access to the digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m, plus exclusive content, including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and much more. Head to racingpost.com and click on subscribe to find out more.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Keith Melrose looking ahead to two Group 1s at the Curragh on Sunday. The first is the 2:40 over a mile, 2.5 furlongs, the Tattersall's Gold Cup. And this is one of those Group 1s that if you're in the pub and you're saying, what are the worst Group 1s? This often comes up in conversation. This year's field, it's an interesting race. I'll let the lads judge on quality. But Broom is favourite at 5-4 for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore. Then it's 11-2 Tiger Moth, 6-1 Cayenne Pepper, 7-1 Helvic Dream, 8-1 Search for a Song, and last year's Derby winner Serpentine, 16-1 True Self, 33-1 Sun Chart. David Jennings, is it a good race and who will win it?
Yeah, I think you're kind of right, Bruce. The reason people always give out about it is the competitiveness in it and the field sizes. Like Magical was 2-9 last year when she won it. She was 2-7 the year before when she won it. So You Think was 1-7 and 2-11 the 2 years he won it. But still, like So You Think, Al-Kazim, Fascinating Rock, Magical, like they're proper Group 1 performers. So I think that the caliber of the winner is never in question. It's just the competitiveness of it that people have a problem with. It's almost... That flips almost this year because it's seriously competitive this year, but there's no absolute superstar in it. So it's different to every other year. I have long been a fan of KM Pepper. I think with KM Pepper, she's the type of filly who I think could develop into a really good four-year-old. And I spoke to Jessica Harrington earlier this week for a story in the paper, and I was blown away by how positive she was about KM Pepper, just how much she strengthened up, how excited she was at getting him back, because he was kind of late to the party last year. Actually made her first start of the season in the Pretty Polly at the end of June last year, so it didn't make kind of its early targets last year because it was a leading fancy for the Guineas. But like she should be fine with cutting the ground. She's obviously done well over the winter. She's rated 115, so she's rated a pound better than Broome at the moment. Like she's 6 and 8 to 1. I think she's too big of a price. I think she's good.
DJ, when you do your rounds, calling up all the big trainers to ask about their runners, is Jessie Harrington one of the ones you look forward to? I've never met her, but she always seems a very nice lady.
Oh, I get on great with Jessie. She's great. She's just good crack, no bullshit. Just says it as it is. No, you know some trainers you talk to, and I actually get on quite well with them all. Most of them probably hate me, I don't know. But like, I get on quite well with them all. But you know sometimes they're saying stuff, and you know they don't really believe it. But that's the party line, and they have to say what they're supposed to say. Jessie just says it as it is, and I just love that about her. She's a great character.
Excellent. Who are you going to select here, Keith?
Yeah, I'm starting with Cian Pepper as well, but almost through process of elimination. I don't like a lot of the O'Brien horses in this race, either generally or at a mile two. And I do think Cian Pepper left last season with a little bit of unfinished business about her. So yeah, I would have come down on her as well.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Right, classic time, 3:15, the Tattersall's Irish 1,000 guineas. Joan of Arc is favourite at 2 to 1. 9 to 4, Pretty Gorgeous. 9 to 2, Fevrover. 9 to 1, No Speak Alexander. 10, Miss Amulet. 14 to 1, Bar Keith. Who wins this big old field, isn't it? 14 runners.
Well, it is, and you know, with the fillies, there's always a chance. They're always going to have a go, aren't they? They're always just going to try and have that crack at getting a classic because they feel it might be relatively easily won. I was a big fan of Pretty Gorgeous for the 1,000 guineas at Newmarket. She got pulled out, obviously. I don't know if she was not declared or declared and, you know, pulled out quite soon after because she wasn't quite right. Either way, you know, I think she might be the best in this division for the time being. The filly's mile form's really good. She beat Indigo Girl, who I think is a really good horse. I've not seen her yet this year. And then third, Mother Earth. That was on soft ground. She's also won a Group 2 on soft ground, so conditions are unlikely to be an issue for her. Got a lot going for her, and yeah, I just think she should probably win the race.
Splendid. David Jennings.
Oh, look, Bruce, if Pretty Gorgeous is Pretty Gorgeous and is the filly we saw in the Filly's Mile and the star two-year-old that we saw, this will be the greatest 9-4 shot of all time. She could absolutely bolt up here, but you're just, it's in the back of your head. Unsatisfactory scope actually wasn't declared at all for Newmarket. It was taken out, I think, the day before declaration time. And it's just in the back of your head. Is all right? Is everything okay with Pretty Gorgeous? The fact that she's here suggests they're happy and she's back on track. But it's just in the back of your mind, you're going, oh, Newmarket was the plan, and then all of a sudden it was the plan, and now she's turning up here. And look, I can, like, if somebody said to me, this is the bet of the weekend at 9-4, I'd say, you're probably right. Like, she'd probably bolt up. But just, it's just that nagging doubt in the back of my mind. And for that reason, I think the play is No Speak Alexander at 9-1. She, ability-wise, she doesn't have near the ability that Pretty Gorgeous would have. But just ground, like heavy ground at Roscommon, bolts up by 6.5 lengths from Divinely last July. Last time at the Curragh, yielding to soft again, wins very impressively from Zaffy's Pride. Conditions with the way they're going to be, she's a dour stayer over this trip. You know she's going to be coming home. You know she's going to handle the ground. It's, to me, they're the only two in the race that interest me are Pretty Gorgeous and No Speak Alexander. And at the prices, I think No Speak Alexander has to be the play each way at 9-1.
Okay, chaps, very quickly before we wrap up, anything else that people should be looking to bet on Sunday? David?
No, actually.
That's the first. Keith?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be betting in the 5-10 at Nottingham, but I'd have to see prices before I decide which horse.
Come on, give us a clue.
Well, I could give you four. I'm going to give you, I could be
four?
If anybody sees the Deluxe Music, well, it won't be Gadbach, he'll be short. Sula Chan will probably be short as well, or Night Crusader are particularly conspicuously big prices. They're the ones I'll be back.
Can I ask a question there, Keith? I know we want to wrap up, Bruce. You know the way you said there, because I'm intrigued by this, you know the way you said there, I haven't seen the prices yet, but I will be having a bet in the whatever race it was at Nottingham. Why, yeah. Is it just the makeup of the race that you like, or what makes you think that that's the race you want to target?
Well, it's a race that I've already had a good look at, and it's a race where I've got sort of four horses that are interesting at various levels of obviousness. And it's just a case of how because I don't know what the market judges is interesting. I know what I think is obviously interesting and what's subtly interesting, but I don't know if the market thinks the same. So I'll wait and see what the market makes of it, and then I'll make my bet accordingly.
Keith, can you tweet your selection when you have seen the market, please?
I will do, yeah. Well, I'll try not, because somebody goes up at half past, somebody will be up by now. And yeah, that price, you know, those prices won't be reflective of the final market. I'm going to be doing it Saturday night.
Okay, and you're at Keith Melrose, aren't you?
That's right, yeah.
Excellent. Okay, make sure you do that. Righty-ho, chaps, thank you very much indeed. That was a very comprehensive roundup of all the best bets for the weekend. So good luck with your tips. Maddie is back on Monday to dissect the weekend and look ahead. And we're back next Friday for another Racing Postcast. Enjoy the weekend. We'll see you next week.